The Gadget Guide.
And Robin Lawrence are here.
Evening, Julian.
Good evening. Welcome along to Gadget Guide number 88. And we'll be looking in a few minutes at the Gadget Show Live 2016 up at the NEC in Birmingham, where you headed a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Anyway, meantime, tech news. Netflix have been on. We've spoken about 4K and even beyond 4K a few times before.
A 4K, the ultra high definition. So the next thing beyond your standard high definition. You know, we're already getting to high definition being a standard.
So we went from DVD, which was sort of standard def, up to Blu-ray high definition.
Now 4K. So this is literally four times the amount of pixels, information, picture quality on your screen. And 4K TVs are now readily available in the sub-£1,000 bracket. In fact, I think the cheapest ones, sub-£500 these days, for fairly large screens still, 40-odd inches. The problem is what to watch on something that's 4K. None of the broadcasters are doing 4K yet because the amount of bandwidth on Sky for satellite or on cable for Virgin.
Well, you're BT. BT are doing selected Premier League games in the 4K format. And I think they've done some rugby as well.
So that's on their BT Vision Sport package.
That's on, it's included. I forget exactly where it sits, but it's in the BT Sport package. Yeah. You need, of course, a dedicated box. And that fancy new Sky Q box is also 4K enabled as well.
I couldn't find any details about 4K on their
press release. The details are sort of seeping out, shall we say. I think that I would need to check the precise details of that, but it's certainly on their roadmap.
So 4K content, Netflix have added a lot more. They charge a bit more for the subscription. Obviously, you're getting more data, so they've got to host bigger data streams to you, so that's why they charge a bit more for that. Amazon Prime, the video stream from them, is 4K on where the content is that they've got it already.
It is worth noting, if you're looking at upgrading, if you've got Netflix or any of the other video providers at the moment, and you're looking to go, maybe you've got the 4K TV, do watch out. You do need a fairly fast internet connection.
Yes, you need, for 4K, you need at least 5 meg. So ADSL is not going to cut it. And you might find that the entry-level packages on fibre and cable and other forms of internet aren't fast enough.
So what sort of speeds would you say we were looking at for half-decent 4K?
I think 20 meg seems to be the 20 megabit a second seems to be the figure banded around. It does depend a little bit on the quality of your ISP, because if some of the, particularly the cheaper ISPs, they tend to be okay at the sort of the fastest, but maybe slow down a bit during peak periods, which for a lot of residential ISPs is in the evening. So if you're ready to watch your sort of your film settling down for film after dinner, then at that point,
yeah, it's the number of people watching, and of course you've got to remember that they might all say 5 megs will do it, but that's assuming that no one in the house is surfing Facebook.
I was going to say, it makes the assumption that there's not
Skype,
somebody doing something else in the next room.
That is just for that. So yes. 4K requires the bandwidth, so Netflix have then decided that they will add high dynamic range content. So this is enhanced contrast, better blacks, deeper quality colours and so on. They're going to have 150 hours of content in HDR by the end of the year. And then the big news is that they've said that there's a possibility of being able to take your Netflix content on the go.
Which Netflix have shied away from, haven't they? Whilst things like Sky Go and iPlayer will allow you to download it to a device. Netflix haven't done so far.
Yeah, the problem is
nothing at all to do with their subscribers slowing down as to why they're thinking of introducing that.
Their challenge is that a lot of the studios charge more for the actual license to produce the stuff for subscriptions for download, because they worry that it's less secure. But you know, the technology is there to make it secure. And you know, it's interesting that the CEO has basically now said we will explore this option. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, much depending on the licensing deals. From the sort of the all singing, all dancing video content to the other end of the spectrum with ebooks, Kindle's been in the news a little bit. Controversially, maybe.
I've forgotten all about Kindle.
Who are they? Amazon's ebook reader. They released their new device, the Kindle Oasis. And of course, the original Kindle reader is very popular for having a battery that seemed to last forever. Well, it now lasts three times forever. So where it was claimed to last a month before, it's now 3 months on the Kindle Oasis, as well as being a more ergonomic form factor, just sit more comfortably in your hand.
Lighter weight and clearer display. Very nice little box. So, yeah, check out Amazon's website.
Downside,
for the
£270.
So, yes, it's a premium price tag, isn't it?
Yeah, compared to the original, it's £60. So, one to watch. Facebook have been doing some tweaks, haven't they? They've changed around their newsfeed algorithm.
Yes, so hopefully you'll start seeing when you log on to Facebook less clickbait. This is the stories that basically are...
So-and-so did X and you won't believe what happened next.
Yes, yes. So one of the unfortunate ones that's, you know, that's starting to spread malware, and these are the sort of things we've got to look out for, is the latest one is unfortunately rather timeous. And if you see an email land in your mailbox that says, the last words of on video from the artist of Prince... Don't open the email. It's the virus writer's latest technique on getting people to open emails.
That's pretty quick. I got an email earlier on from a company I might occasionally get some sheet music from, and they've already said, you know, I can download a Prince back catalogue to play on the piano and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're quick.
Microsoft... a couple of sort of contrasting results from there, really, because Windows Phone, do you remember that? Windows Phone? Know anyone who's got one?
No, I do. I do, actually.
Okay, well, they probably won't have soon, because the Windows Phone shipments, or the Lumias in particular, are down 73% compared to last year.
That's a
Nokia!
A bit of a...
Yes. Yes.
That's where the Windows Phone went.
Yeah, exactly. 73% less of it than there was last year. So not good results for them. But on the flip side, the Microsoft Surface, which is their sort of competitor to the iPad, but running full-blown Windows, that's up 61%. So that's being really successful, mostly in the business market. Although
has that improved after they fixed all the problems?
They have had some issues with the Surface 4, so they seem to be onto something that people clearly want, and it's, I think, now just a case of whether they can deliver. For it.
They are lovely devices.
Yeah,
the Surface set is.
The final thing we'll leave you on before the travel is Solar Impulse number 2, and it's a bit of a grey, cloudy day in Cambridge here.
So this was the solar-powered plane?
It is. It's trying to circumnavigate...
Not a drone, it actually has people
in it. Yeah, it has pilots, and it's circumnavigating the world under solar power, which is pretty phenomenal. You might remember it got stuck in Hawaii with dodgy batteries for several months while they regrouped. It took off again a day ago, yesterday afternoon, just on 4 o'clock our time. It's currently in the middle of the night, so he's sitting around 4,000 foot, but the sun just coming up over the path to the northeast of Hawaii, and I think it's about 5 days until they expect to reach California.
I do like the fact that it's been piloted by Captain Picard.
It is Bertrand Picard. But it's fantastic. If you go to the Solar Impulse website, you can see everything. You can see what his battery status is, what his flight instruments are telling him, even whether he's going to the loo at the moment.
No live streaming video, though, is it?
Similar to the tracking device that the US military put up for Father Christmas.
Yes, exactly. NORAD Track Santa.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
Gadget Show Live in a moment. Yeah, welcome back to Gadget Guide 88. And now we're looking at the Gadget Show Live. You actually went over to this, didn't you?
So this was at the end of March. It was 31st of March. And it's an annual event that Channel 5's Gadget Show holds for the public, basically.
And when you say it's an event, is it a go and find out about things, launch things, or is it basically a big sales fest?
Bit of both, actually. So it's several large halls at the NEC, and there are lots of exhibitors selling stuff. So there's certainly a large amount of tat, flea market.
Surely
tat.
Not.
yes. But there are a lot of trade stands showing off their latest whizzy toys that you might want to buy. Everything from cameras, home security systems to Tesla.
Oh, as in the car maker?
As in the car maker, showing off their latest toys.
Oh, now, was this just before or just after they'd launched the Model 3?
It was 3 days before, unfortunately.
Oh, they must have been killing themselves.
Yeah, no, they were really upset that the timing was just wrong. There was no way they could get a Model 3 to Birmingham in time to show the public. And also, just looking across the hall after the doors opened to the public, because I got in early as the press, and... it was probably the busiest stand in the entire hall.
Without that announcement.
Even without the Model 3. What they were doing is, first of all, you could go and sit in the Tesla and play with all the knobs and buttons and whizzy displays, but they were doing pre-booked drives around and they were taking passengers out.
Very nice.
They weren't letting anyone drive it. They were showing in the hall the automatic parking system.
Oh, so it would actually go and park itself between the stands.
Or between a couple of... they had an area set up for cars to do that. So it was quite cool. Everything really high-end, right down to, you know, a pair of 10-quid headphones was on offer at the show.
And what were the sort of the major themes? And we normally see at these sort of events, CES, Mobile World Congress, there's normally something that stands out as this year's theme.
There wasn't anything that really stood out above anything else. I mean, personal transportation and transportation in general was quite large. So, you know, everything going down from the Tesla, there was a crowd who had a bunch of electric vehicles to teach teenagers to drive.
Oh, that's a nice idea.
Okay, so this is allowed to actually go and do driving lessons.
Right.
So it's all held off-road in a controlled environment, little electric cars, and they had them in the hall, and you could book your teenager on a 10-minute driving
lesson. Forget the teenager, I want to go and play in
Yeah, unfortunately, they weren't set up before they opened the doors for the press to have a go, but it was quite a nice idea. But other sorts of transport things, there were electric bicycles, there were Segway-type things, all with big posters saying that this has been approved by trading standards.
We did have the
customs and excise and everything, yes.
Exactly, we did have the batteries catching fire scandal, didn't we, a few months back, and they've now got over that, presumably.
Yeah, they were all saying, you know, it's got this model Samsung battery in it, here's the CE certificate, yeah. Here's the charger we're using, which has been sourced in the UK. So, you know, they've now got them to the level of safe. So they were doing a roaring trade, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. But some really smart electric bicycle options, electric motorbikes, off-road type vehicles. What looked like a cross between a Segway and a tank. So Segway is the
personal. I'm trying to imagine that.
It's the personal, stand on it and drive around. This thing had tracked wheels.
Okay.
You stood on it like you would stand on a surfboard, and you went off-road with it.
So I'm imagining a sort of a miniaturised tank that you stand on the roof.
Yeah.
Cool.
Basically, yes. So, you know, really cool things like that. Then there was the obvious thing of the moment. Drones were in abeyance. Certainly there were significant numbers of models available. Everything from something that would sit in your hand and start at about £20 up to thousands of pounds.
Now, is this for drones? Is this the sort of the glory days between where the technology's got good enough and before they all get banned? Because, of course, last week we had the incident with a drone hitting a BA flight just as it took off or came into land.
It is a worrying thing. And, I mean, there's a survey on one of the news sites I visit fairly frequently that it is, you know, should UK drone owners have to have a licence? Now, in the US, they just said, right, if you're going to own a drone, you have to have a licence issued by the CAA or the FAA so that we know who you are.
And we can come and talk to you if you've been
naughty. And you have to register your serial numbers with us, so that basically if your drone hits something, we're going to come and hammer you, basically. And, you know, maybe that's not a bad thing.
And it's true already in the UK for commercial operators, yes. And for anyone who makes money out of it, if you're going out and selling the video that you're taking, you do need to take those licenses.
And, I mean, the course is not horrific to actually get licensed. The fees are not ridiculous. But, you know, maybe we do need a little bit of control with something that is flying around, it is above public property, and it could hurt someone.
Yes, I know. If one of those propellers goes into you, then you're going to know about
it. So drones from handheld things, like I said, if you took the same size thing that would sit in your hand and you added a camera, basically it took it up to about £100.
That's not bad at all.
You know, so the technology price has certainly got to the point of, you know, it is accessible. Now, the ones I thought, so Parrot had their latest ones, but ones that I came across which I hadn't seen before are from a company called Unique. So it's spelled Y-U-N-E-E-C.
Okay, of course, you can't spell things the normal way.
Yeah, so Y-U-N-E-E-C.UK is their website, and their new Tornado and Typhoon H and their Tornado range. So their new Typhoon 4K has a 4K, so this is an ultra high def camera on it, on a gimbal, so that basically you can pan and tilt it around and do nice whizzy videos.
And presumably also keeps those videos very stable as you're flying around. If you get blown around in the wind, your video footage doesn't go off to one side.
So this is a multi-turbine copter. The control ground station has a video feed in it, so you can see what your camera is seeing in real time.
Very nice.
Which is very cool. You can also have two controllers running your drone so that you could be flying and someone else is driving the video camera.
Okay, so this is positioning. The sort of in the video thing, you have the camera operator and then you have the person pushing them around on the dolly almost.
Basically like that. And one of the really useful things that's going to become apparent for people who are flying expensive drones, collision avoidance radar.
So if you lose your concentration, you're
not going to
crash into
a building or a tree or things like that. Now, the sort of price point on this surprised me. I mean, yeah, you've seen drones and you've had friends who've bought drones and they've spent, you know, thousands of pounds.
Yes.
This one starts at $1,100.
And that includes the camera, that includes the controller.
The camera and the controller.
Everything you... So, and historically, you'd get the controller, then you'd add the camera, then you'd add the bit that kept the camera pointing the right way, and all of that would add
more
up.
More for a GPS, more for a radar, more for the retractable undercarriage. All those sort of things standard. So, yeah, no, the prices are really getting quite cool.
So I guess the thing that ties in with the drones, we talked about this sort of point of view thing where you can see what it's seeing. Virtual reality, are we still seeing that?
We're seeing a little bit of it. Every stand had every stand that was in that sort of league had a VR headset offering of some sort. There was quite a lot of it around gaming. So gaming is always big at the gadget show. Everything from arcades to multi role player shoot 'em ups and so on. There were people having contests doing gaming. They had live on stage, you know, try to score a goal against one of the FIFA type simulators and so on.
Win a Tesla?
With big prizes. So it was things like gaming rigs and, all the toys to actually make yourself a decent gaming setup at home. So good prizes.
Okay, what about Internet of Things? And this is something that we hear a lot about in the news. Was that translating into actual products you can buy now yet?
So certainly there were quite a lot of companies selling smart home type products. So primarily focusing on the security aspect. So
that's something really that's been neglected up to now, isn't it?
A well-respected brand that we are well-known in the UK, Yale, had a mocked-up smart home with all of their security products. So that was something that they were showing. Right down to startups. So, smart doorbells are now a thing where you have a camera in it and it can actually send a video of who is at your door to your phone. But there was a startup called Ding, and their smart doorbell is just going to phone you.
Just go ding.
And give you a voice link. So they reckon video is challenging.
Yep.
So just drop back to standard video and things like that. So, you know, there were some interesting products.
Love it. Favourite piece of tat?
Oh, difficult to say. I avoided the tat.
Okay, well, go on. Well, favourite purchase then?
Favourite purchase, probably this neat little LED video light or spotlight, which you can use for shooting video or as a fill-in flash. And you can use this one quite cleverly with a regular camera, or it comes with a bracket to strap to your mobile phone.
Oh, nice.
So that you can use it, because we know that mobile phones are pretty rubbish in low light. So this lets you use your mobile phone in low light and also point it forward to you so that when you're FaceTiming or Skyping, you illuminate yourself. You don't look like you've got bags under your eyes.
Selfie flash. Very good. We'll have more in a couple of weeks' time.